Ahoy hoy. Welcome to the What's Your Name podcast. I'm your host, Steve. Welcome to a Genesis story. A story to understanding our original selves, a story to what was always there, and an understanding of the truth of who we are as human beings filtered through faith and complete truth. Join me as I seek to discover, believe, listen, and be transparent with that that is within. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the What's Your Name podcast. I am your host Steve, and yes, it's episode 4 before episode 3. So, episode 3 still needs a bit more fine-tuning, so I thought I would do episode 4 first and share with you the rest as time comes by. Thank you so much everyone for listening in, and happy Mother's Day to all mothers and to all those who in their own way have given life to others, and this particularly to women, ladies, girls, and yes, all of the female gender. I want to say, please don't mind my voice, I have a cold, recovering from a cold, I don't know, my voice is still husky, and yeah. Anyway, so in sharing this episode, I thought I would go straight into it. This past weeks, I've been calling to question a lot of why I do this. I do these episodes and why I spend so much time building this. And in the line of thought I've been having is the questions that at me. So I'm hoping this episode will go as it is. This is completely raw, not planned, or essentially, I wouldn't say scripted, but there's no order into it. So I hope you enjoy the lesson or learn from something about this. So I believe this is the basis of a lot of the things we end up doing in ourselves, with ourselves. This involves the activities we tend to join. This influences the circles we're in. And a lot of times, this, for me, defined a lot of who I am as a person. Because this is what brought me together to other people. And a lot of times, my motivation for doing things was always acceptance. I don't know if I'm the only person, but how far have you gone just to be part of a crew? How far have you gone so that you can understand or be part of it? You know, growing up, I always felt like the odd one out. I always felt like I was sidelined because I always thought differently. I just had different opinions. And even when I stood up for my own opinions, it always was completely different from what everyone else thought or wanted from me. And it bothered me a lot how a lot of times I had to be the one who seemed to want to change while everyone else seemed not to. Granted, there are days I had my own character flaws that needed to be challenged, but at the same time, it's funny how it seemed like you're the only person who needs to do something in order to make a difference while everyone else seems to be just there. So for me, when I made all these changes in my life, just triggered for the sake of just being included, for some reason, a few months down the line or a few weeks down the line, I just simply was empty. I hated myself. I keep wanting more of being part of it. So I thought extending more of myself so that I can just be, could have just that tiny bit of approval, that tiny bit of want, that tiny need of tukwe na wewe. So I did a lot. I did so much. I did quite a bit, I must say. And growing up, it's, you know, when you reach a certain age and when you reach a specific time, you start looking back and you even see people who are living the time you lived and the things they are doing. I believe recently, a close family friend, a friend of mine, is finally got an internship. and congratulations to him. I'm so proud of him. And when I look at him, I remember my first time when I got an internship or an opportunity to put myself out there. All I thought was, I'm going to give everything. I'm going to do my 3 months. I'm going to do my 6 months. And I'm going to be able to give 100% so that later on I can earn this job and be able to earn this income. And for me, the motivation was always the income. The motivation was, let's produce something. Let's tutoa kitu. And when we were producing this thing, I remember one of the internships I did, you know, I would do hours, late nights. At times I would extend myself in the sense that I didn't have much to go back home to, but I would spend an extra hour or two just spending there combing through files, combing through some data so that I can be able to present it to other people. Lost my train of thought. So when it happened with me, my question was always, why was I doing these particular things? So, for example, I think I was giving the example of when I was in an internship and I would spend extra hours doing more work than other people. I'd go to the extra mile looking for files when they were lost, or particularly when a file is with somebody else. You know, in a government position, the person who's tasked to do this job, no one else can do it. So let's say it's a receipt. The receipt needs to be written by only one person. And this one person, if the person is sick or on leave, there are no receipts until when they come back. Interesting. But anyway, so I would go the extra mile, go look for the boss to just write the receipt so that they can get to the person, because the person looked like they need. And you know, that small validation from that person telling you thank you, or that person who just looks at you like you really have helped them during the course of their days with everything they are going through. You've made their life easier. Those things validated me quite a bit. So I look at it and I was like, even the extremes I would go to in the context of relationships. I remember at one point growing up, there's this chick I used to date. I don't remember her name. Wait, I do remember her name. But one thing I remember that struck for me was, it always felt like, you know, that saying, too close, too far. So I was always there, but I wasn't just close enough. So I remember I sold, there was this concert by Liquid Deep and Black Blankets and Wine, and it was at Mambo Village. And Amy, I've always loved Afro music. There's just something about the drums, the percussions, the rooting of African music at times. It just brings me home. And for me, I was sold at Liquid Deep, but the icing on the cake was, she was there. And you see, she had tickets. She had gotten tickets. I don't know how she had gotten tickets. But for me, at the time, I was going through some financial stuff. And also, I was young, so I was just in my early 20s, so I wouldn't have had the resources to do that. So, interesting enough, so I had just gotten a phone. It wasn't an expensive phone, but at the same time, the value of the phone is the exact same price as the tickets, as a ticket. So I had enough to get into the concert, but I didn't have enough to go back home. So, you know, you start looking, asking friends, and you say, "Dear, help me 200 bob, help me with 100 bob." Because essentially, at the time, to get to Mamba Village and back, depending on the hour, to my place, I needed roughly 300 shillings. That is an equivalent to, I would say, $4, for lack of better words. $4 to $5, worst case scenario. So I needed at least 5 sock. So 5 sock for me was good enough. So somehow I got, let's say, I got 300 bob. So for me, I like walking. So I calculated the distance. So I knew the concert starts at 2. So me, because the person lived nearby, so me was like, if you got 3, I'll go early. So that, because I know the fares are cheaper earlier, I go chill somewhere and then I end up going to the place. Then, you know, walk in shallant, like you wait for a time, or just find somebody who's going there and get a lift. I did that. And then in the evening, because the concert's definitely, you know how concerts are, like the headliner gets to perform late at night, that's around 9 p.m. Uko. So when Liquid Deep was there, like, wow, I really had a good time, long story short. And you know that moment in every movie when you get to see her and you see her and she sees you, and then like you all hugged up, it just felt like that twilight moment. Then we just stood, you know. I don't know, I've always wanted to make out like when everyone else is like, you know, that's you umesimama katikati ya pahali tu, and then everyone else is just going about in their lives, and then you two are just there at the center of attention. I got to do that, and like, okay, fantasy fulfilled, yeah, it felt good. Mental notes, anyway. So when it happened, me, I was gone in it. I was like, it felt special. We got to dance, we got to enjoy the environments of it. And I remember asking myself, so I had to borrow a phone first to be able to communicate with this person when I was going there. Secondly, you know, when you go to a place that you know you can't afford, and essentially you're going there because of this one thing, and this one person still, this person had come with their own crew. So she came with her own resources. Our own crew had their own resources. So they were able to merge their resources. So, and then for me, you know, I really hate piggy banking at times. So I always try and do the bare minimum. So even if I'm at a place, I always try and earn my place there. It's a mindset I'm trying to get rid of, so bear with me. So I did my best to earn my place there. You know, I remember also at one point in my high school days, when I would tout myself as I knew sugar mummies, and there were guys in our school who just wanted, like, yo, the opportunity to sleep with somebody older than who they are was like a fantasy, because I don't know, that is the mom wound, or essentially the feeling of knowing that somebody older than you wants you because of you. Acceptance, you know. So I used to brag about it, and even that led me to the life of the other side. I would say I had my own gay experience. I had my own moment of trying what was the fad with this, and I did it. I remember the guy is called James, and I won't forget him because the whole experience was terrifying for him, but I also saw it with him that he was also looking for the same thing, acceptance. You know, you push so much for yourself so that you can feel a particular way, so that that inviting nature that is built in you can be fulfilled. And it's funny how we try so hard to satisfy the unsatisfiable. I don't know whether I'm the only person, but growing up or even becoming the person I'm becoming right now, there's always nuggets in yourself that needs to be quenched. There's always that feeling in your body that constantly needs something to go in it. For some of us, we put in the work. Some of us, we put in workouts. Some of us, we put in just attention to detail, you know, those intricacies. We put so much effort so that it can feel that part. But it's funny, a friend or a book I read or something, I don't remember exactly where I got it, but I remember they were saying, it's funny how you reach the end of your life and all you realize is that the most vital of things was your relationship with God, your relationship with the person who brought you here. I think the funniest thing I got, funny things about us as human beings is understanding, we understand the how, but we don't understand the why of these things are there. Because it's funny, my why factor has always been off, you know, like, I knew how to do so many things. I'm good at cooking, I'm good at perceiving people's intentions, I'm good at noticing when something is off, I'm good at doing so many things, but I don't understand why. I never used to understand why I'm able to do these particular things. So, you know, even I remember I went to a rainbow party. I was invited by a friend then. Her name was Nicole. And she was a lesbian, and she really was, I believe for me, this was part of her acceptance journey, because she had gone through quite a bit coming up, and it was a lot for her. So I felt for me it was a coping mechanism, because I think hurt people hurt other people. So when you're hurt, you tend to look for other people who who can give you just enough so that you can feel. And I remember going for that party, and I had such a great time. That the funding for that activity, I must say, is I did some things to get that funding. Not a bad thing, but let's say there were books which were supposed to be bought, and then pesa hizo vitabu zikaenda, you know. And I remember I did that, and even, you know, when you go into a group of people and they don't judge you, but simply want you to be there. Because for me, I remember the intricacies of it. I remember I helped up set up the sound system. I remember the owner, the one who was bringing the function, telling us, you guys have like there's some beers for you somewhere when you're ready. Mwende mjibambe, you know. Then finding like other guys, the lesbian community, guys just dancing with everyone, you know, like they felt free. Or even being hit on by somebody who's gay and, you know, feeling that power in the sense that another man wants you. And, you know, for me, it wasn't even sexual, it's just that somebody noticed. And I think that's the basis of acceptance, being noticed. I listened to a podcast called Legally Clueless by Adele Onyango. I will link her in the description. She's doing a fantastic job. And something I've noticed from a lot of what she speaks about and what she's gone through personally in becoming the woman she is right now is realizing to stand for what is truly you. Because a lot of times we are very keen to pick up other people's mantles, other people's perceptions, and running with it because we want to be accepted by them. Because if you look clearly, the fact that we can't accept ourselves as human beings or our uniqueness, because one of the strangest things about this life is that everyone else is trying so hard to make you like everyone else. So standing to be unique and to be you is now the daunting fight of this life. Because, let's face it, it feels good to be like everyone else. It does feel good to be included. It feels good to be part of the crew. I remember growing up also, I've always wanted to have, like, you know, those long phone calls with a friend. It really didn't matter. We'll be talking, like, basically, we'll just talk about popcorn. And I always wanted, like, to talk to a friend for 3 hours, 2 hours. And all that I wanted was just to talk. I don't know what we were going to talk about, but, you know, just talk, because it felt like a kindred spirit. It felt like meeting somebody else who could hear what you were going through and make sense of it, and not necessarily give you some information about it, but simply wanted to be with you. So for me, I remember that, and yes, I do have a friend who we can do that with now. And I remember the first time we talked for 5 hours, and I was like, yo, it was during the pandemic, on the onset of the pandemic. And I was like, wow, I waited this long to get a five hour conversation. My goodness, I had to wait, is it 27? How many years? I think 27 years so that I can get a 5 hour conversation. Wow, that was a long time, but anyway. But I'm thankful for it, because you truly don't appreciate something until when it happens. And when it happens at the right time. Because now I truly appreciate the friendship for what it is. And yeah, it was all for acceptance. And I don't know if, as particularly me as a man, I think I got to understand also that at times for men, I think ladies, and I say this with all due respect, men are not complicated, for lack of better words. I wouldn't say women are equally complicated, but your driving factor is different for what drives women. So I think for particularly women, we've really experienced different kind of men, particularly in this demographic that I am in. I have had stories of some really horror stories of people you've dated. Some of my friends have dated somebody, and the things they have had to endure for the sake of just being wanted by somebody, it's a lot. But in analyzing this information, you realize that a lot of times the base model for acceptance for a man is, for lack of better words, to a man, sex translates to acceptance in their minds. So essentially, it's not that they're objectifying or want your body. It just means to them, they are simply wanting, they want that feeling of knowing that they are giving a part of themselves for this, because when they look at you, it's not about quenching thirst. It's essentially, I'm enough in your eyes. So for me, it's not even particularly for, I'm speaking, this is more of a man who doesn't have the habitual tendencies of narcissism, you know, those abusive tendencies. But for particularly men, I would say in the context of like marriage, I'll link also in the resources section, a podcast called The 30 Minutes with a Perry, and particularly the episodes on pornography. We'll discuss this later on when it comes, with my own battles with it and my own fights with it. But for now, one of the things I got to understand was, for women, sex essentially is more of a task instead of a role. So, because for men, you see, for them, I think if you look, I don't know if as a guy, if there's any guy, please share. Please, guys, share your story with us on Instagram, Facebook, or write to us an email. I'd really love to see the impact of this episodes to you. So, I've lost my train of thought. In one of the things many of us do in this episode, what he was discussing, for men, sex is about acceptance. For women, sex is more about just getting it out of the way. It doesn't mean that women are not inclined to wanting the role itself. It just means for them, they can stay without it. But for men, really can't. Because I wouldn't say it's a hunger. It's just the validation of it. I don't know if I am the only person, but I remember my first time, and I remember every other time. And a lot of times, the motivation of it wasn't for me. It was for the other person. Because from my episodes, or even from just this episode, you can tell, I hope you can realize how I'm really detail-oriented. So I spend a lot of time, I look at the person, even while during the act of it, I look at the person's convolutions, I look at the person's motions, I look at how are their hands, I don't want to describe it too much because, well, you don't know who's listening. And when you pay attention to those tiny quirks of a person, what makes them insecure, what makes them happy, what gives them that silent nudge, you recognize that this is about them. Because even in marriage, if I look at people who are just recently getting married and who are in it, if you even ask them about their whole sexual experience, they just simply say it was just a moment of me seeing a vulnerable side. Because for men, sex is vulnerability. And for women, it's also vulnerability, because it just translates that I want you. Not your body, but I want you. And I think that's the hard part for women to understand when it comes to sex. Because for me, in my days, and in what I am right now, is I've recognized that for me, sex is more about sharing a vulnerable side of yourself with somebody else. And the belief that this person is also doing this, is willing to give that part of yourself. And a lot of times, to enjoy the perfect context of vulnerability, a lot of times, you'll enjoy a different level of it in marriage, in a covenant. This is not because of my Christian side or the stand I used to, but there's something, you know, you can't deny facts when everyone is consistently saying the same thing and it's a reliable source. There's no way that more than 50 people, different backgrounds, people in healthy marriages, healthy relationships, all saying the same thing, that it was different when they got in covenant. They did it before they got married, and afterwards, once they got to that stage, it felt different. This is either within or without the marriage band. So, if done in a Christian band or not. So, to simply just go along with it, I would like to probe the question to each one of us. How far have you gone for the chance to be accepted by people, the chance to feel wanted? How far have you gone so that you can recognize how deep within you need to share who you are as a person just cause it feels better to be within you, be part of the crew? In episode 2, you heard my story of wanting to try hard substances just because of wanting to try. But deep down, I wanted to try because I saw two specific people were there and they were in it. So simply put, how far have you gone? Because I've gone quite far. And recognizing that and now honing back and realizing you are good enough even before that, that you are worthy even without the approval of others, without the approval of those people who matter, you are already good enough. Now that is the trick. It's hard to believe, but to be able to transition to the new and better version of yours, you have to let go of some things. And this is one thing who I had to, and still learning how to let go of, is the acceptance of men, the acceptance of people around us. There is correction, there is people who are supposed to sharpen you, are supposed to guide you, but at the same time, are they improving your discipline, or are they improving your need to be validated by them? Interesting perspective. So, this is simply a rock art for me, and I wanted to share this because I feel this is something a lot of us are struggling with, and it's something a lot of us haven't gotten to the root cause of why we wanted to be accepted so badly. Personally, for me, I understand why I wanted acceptance so badly, and this is really important, particularly as a man, and I wanted to share this in light of Mother's Day, is that to a son, a dad's approval means the world to them, but a mother's approval means everything to them. So, I would like to ask that question to all men. I mean, men will go hard for their mothers. How did your mom accept you? Did your mom spend the time with you? Did your mom ask those hard questions and still give you the attention it is? To daughters, I know it's hard to believe, but moms have a universal love indicator. Like, by default, a mom will always love you. They're supposed to love you. But there are those cases where, in like the episode of the testimony service, a mom just doesn't have the bandwidth to listen to or have the love because of their own battles they've been fighting since they were younger. But at the same time, you know, it's hard to realize how... I know it feels really hard to realize that you're not loved by your mom. You know, you can somehow get by without a father's love, but a mom's love is hard, particularly for any person, when you realize that the one person who held you for 9 months, who went through the motions, my goodness. Hey, ladies, again, tribute to you, because I got to listen to the things you guys have to go to accommodate a human body in your body. And I'm like, oh, watch out. Anyway, I feel like I'm drifting. But this episode was dedicated to acceptance. This episode was dedicated to listening, to simply just sharing who we are as persons, in the sense that we do a lot for acceptance. And I would like us to stop and learn to accept ourselves first before we give the world which was given to us freely. Thank you very much for listening in, guys. More episodes to come. And have a lovely life. Bye. Thank you for listening in to this episode of the What's Your Name podcast. You can share with your friends, close ones, and even those you can't stand to this space. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and remember to subscribe so that you never miss out on the next